It would be difficult to imagine you haven't heard of this sensational performance of the national anthem, Star Swain, there at the Lincoln Memorial just prior to the 4th of July holiday. She's here today, and we'll talk with her at length in the second hour. I've got Kim Sinise talking about the Dick Houser Center and Miriam Dady with another guest in our business spotlight. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthAndWellness.com.
Well, it's another fine day here at Tallahassee Talks. We are in the midst of summer, my friend. This is it. Our summertime weather pattern is upon us, if you hadn't noticed. Yeah. So, let's see. What is that weather outlook? This is on everybody's minds. We might as well just dig in right now. Chance of rain pretty low for the weekend. You're looking at about 10% throughout the region. Humidity's in the mid about 56% humidity, winds 9 miles an hour. So we're going to be hot, we're going to be humid with very little wind. That's today. Tomorrow's forecast, not that much different. High of 94, low of 73 through Monday. Pretty much a continuation of that. And of course, because it is Tallahassee and it is North Florida, you always have to figure into your planning that weather phenomenon known as the temperature inversion, the afternoon thunderstorm that comes upon us without warning, especially if you leave your windows down, because it's like out of nowhere and you're looking. It's happened this week a couple of times already, right? Okay, so those of us who are old timers know this quite well. The afternoons, pretty much during the summer, you're going to have a thunderstorm pop up here or there. So be aware of that. Nonetheless, it means that anybody who's going to do any yard work is going to have to use those early morning or late afternoon hours to get that done. Or you're just made of a different kind of cloth. I don't know, because, man, that temperature index gets up there pretty fast and pretty high at 97 degrees. Man, that's getting pretty dicey. Okay, enough weather talk, but be advised, especially for those of you who have some health issues, or if you got little ones out there or older ones, be thoughtful. And of course, thinking about your pets too, right? Come on. Can't be leaving them in the car. What's the matter with you? Okay, so we've done that part, and I wanted to bring to your attention some of the other cool things going on, speaking of temperature. These are things that you can do, some indoor, some outdoor. This one caught my attention. I like this. This is the French Town Farmers Market, which has really sort of gotten underway of late. Goes from 9 o'clock this morning all the way until about 1 o'clock. So you still have time. If you're on your way there now listening to our show, well, that's good. Take us with you, of course. But there's a lot of good things going on there. The French Town Farmers Market. and all kinds of locally grown foods at your disposal there for your convenience. Fresh produce. It's all very good stuff. Local vendors, handmade, locally grown. It's a very cool thing. 9 to 1 today. Now, then, there is the 12th annual Horse and Hound Wine Festival. Right. I know I'm supposed to use some kind of an aristocratic sound in my voice when I say that, but you have to fill in the blank there. This is happening today. Goes this afternoon from 4 o'clock on till 11 p.m. Now, this is in Bedford, Virginia. Okay, so what the heck am I bringing? Well, because there's still time. I mean, I just thought it was a cool idea. Why don't we have a horse and hound? This is the 12th annual Horse and Hound Wine Festival. We can do that. All right, well, here's something closer to home. How about a free train ride for your kiddos? This is a great idea. This is the Veterans Memorial Railroad over there. Where are they? They're in Bluntstown, somewhere over there. Hosford, somewhere. Liberty County. Oh, Bristol, sorry. They're in Bristol. Goes today from 11 till 3. Get over there, and the Veterans Memorial Railroad will take you on their train ride over a mile around the park and through a cypress wetland across a trestle bridge. It's all free. That's a neat thing for kids and for you. And there's places where you can play and walk trails and have your picnic and, man, all kinds of neat stuff. And, yes, they have an air-conditioned depot. Just keeping that in mind. Then, right here in our very own town, starting at 4 o'clock, you got the Swamp Stomp Music Festival going on out there at Tallahassee Museum. And that kicks off at 4 o'clock, goes 4 to 9. Tickets there are $7.50 and $10.50. If you're a museum member or an active member of the military, it's free. So that's kind of cool. Swamp Stomp, eh? The Swamp Stomp Music Festival at Tallahassee Museum from 4 to 9. Another good thing. Good family kind of stuff to do. And speaking of families, what about your own history? Well, did you know that Leon County Library, their main branch, they're offering a family history workshop. Now, this is very cool stuff. This happens today from 2:30 to 4:30, and it's actually a part of familysearch.org. So you want to check it out. You can call them over there if you want. I've got the number. It's 893-4243. I believe that's the number. Familysearch.org. Check that out. A family history workshop. And the subtext here says, we discover something about ourselves when we learn about our ancestors. And this is a class then you and I can sign up for. And you get one-on-one help during the session. It starts about 3:15. Now, let me give you that number again, 893-4243, and you can register. So who's looking out for you there? A family history workshop. I love that idea. Speaking of our own family here, you know that we have coming up for you in this first hour, I have Kim Sineath. Now, she's the director of the Dick Hauser Center in Tallahassee. They operate under the direction and auspices of Goodwill Industries and Fred Schaefer and Company over there. And they do such a great job working with kids with special needs and kids of all kinds, special needs and otherwise, for those from 6 months old, infants, all the way up to 5 years old. So basically a pre-K program that takes a very interesting approach to the whole blending of these special needs situations with the everyday, ordinary sort of things, I guess you'd say, or more customary, be a better word, educational needs of children. Learning how to play and work together and how to have fun and how to create and discover all of the things that provide, as all the research indicates, a better chance of doing well later on in school. So that first 5 years of life, very, very important. All of you child developmentalists out there are nodding your heads. and jumping up and down. Yes, amen. So we're going to learn about what the Dick Houser Center does to help all of their students and help us then as a community. Their biggest need is for more space. You're going to find that out when we talk to Director Kim Sineath. Well, folks, I want to say that we would not be here except for the very fine sponsors who make this possible, people like Witten Glass. They've been in business for now 71 years, starting back in 1945, and so we want to give a shout-out to those dear friends of ours who have been with us from the very beginning of this show, and the very good people at Truck and Car Concepts over there on Mahan Drive, just east of Weems Road, across from Kraft Nissan. Joe Doty and Company, say hi for us when you go by Truck and Car Concepts this week. Stay with me. I've got more coming up right after this.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady. Brought to you by pushtheenvelope.biz.
I'm Miriam Dady. Welcome to Tallahassee Business Spotlight. Today, I have Jason Bellflower as a guest. He is the general manager of Camping World, right next door to Tallahassee in Midway, Florida. Jason, thanks for being with me.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know better than most people listening how much I love camping.
Yes, I do.
We could talk about it a long time, and we have a history together going way back into the camping years. But I want to hear about how you've come to be where you are. I know personally you haven't always been so much a camping guy, but you've always been in recreation. What's your background?
My background starts way back in 1956. My great-grandfather started a boat dealership here in town on South Monroe, just south of the Capitol. From there, it moved out to Highway 20. And finally, the dealership was put up for sale in 2004. From there, did a little boat manufacturing, and then fought my way into Camping World in 2009. Just celebrated my seventh year anniversary, and recreation's in my blood. It's something I've done all my life. It's something I believe in. I believe in quality free time with the family, and that's what memories are built off of.
Yeah, it is. And I can speak as a longtime Tallahassean. You can't say Bellflower without saying Bellflower Marina.
Right.
Everybody, it's just the end of that sentence.
That's, for the most part, it's a blessing. There's history in every town.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to have my history here in Tallahassee.
That's great. Our uncles go back into the boating industry together, and I know that your grandfather would be really proud of what you're doing right now at Camping World. Now, you said you've been at Camping World for 7 years, and you've seen it grow, I don't want to talk so much about Camping World on the national picture. I want to talk about Camping World right here in our community. How many families would you say in your 7 years, let's even limit it to 5 years, how many people are camping now because of what you guys have done for them out there in Midway?
We will have more than 2,500 campers delivered in the last 5 years, which is phenomenal numbers, all walks of life from almost every state in our great nation.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge business, and we're lucky to impact what we have done in the past 5 years.
It's such a luxury. People think about luxury resorts as being special, but I've never arrived at a luxury resort that already had my favorite sheets on the bed.
Right, right.
I've never been there where my books were right there. I could reach for, you know, a recipe, or my groceries were in the refrigerator when I parked.
Right.
There is nothing like camping, and to think that you guys have impacted 2,500 plus families is pretty neat.
It is.
I know too, just from my own experience with Camping World, that campers change the RV they're camping in, right? They might start with something like a pop-up, and then they move to, what, a travel trailer?
Travel trailer.
Motorhomes?
To the motorhomes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them from, you know, starting out in the smallest, working their way up to the biggest. Their needs and travel plans change.
Yeah.
And they'll come back down to something, you know, more economical and easier maybe to operate. There's no rules.
When you talk about RVs that you tow behind you,
mm-hmm.
Do you have to have a major truck to do it?
Part of our process is we guide you to the right vehicle.
Yeah.
The right truck, I mean, the trucks are doing more than they've ever done. So to tow a trailer, you don't need the big dually or semi. It's all based on weight.
Right.
So we're here to guide you, make sure you're towing safely, properly. We educate you. It's all part of our care process to make sure that our customers are out there, you know, on the same road as my mom, you know, traveling safely.
Right. So if I had a Toyota minivan,
mm-hmm.
I need to stick with a pop-up, right?
No, we've actually got some alternatives there.
Okay.
So get you more than a pop-up into, you know, maybe a 21-foot travel trailer.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. With air conditioning, heat,
bathroom.
Full bathroom, full queen bed, yes, and even a slide out.
What would something like that weigh?
Something like that'll weigh less than 3,000 pounds.
Gosh, that's
right.
Amazing.
Right.
And then with the weight distributing hitch and the sway control, all those things, you can outfit the whole shebang so that somebody's...
We do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you bump it on a tree, we can fix that for you.
Tell me about, just as far as talking about Tallahassee and our surrounding community, it's where we live.
Right.
And it's where Camping World lives, too. And I want to know, what are the kind of things that are near and dear to your heart where you guys are really reaching out and making a difference for the customers you have?
Every experience is different. We focus on control of the experience. Not everybody wants to give us control, but we know that if the customer will give us the time, we can be more efficient and accurate with their plans.
Yeah.
So that in turn gives them an experience that they'll never forget. We have a much slower process than a car buying experience. There's much more involved between banking, insurance, operation, add-ons. You know, this is a custom environment. Just this the same
it's
way
a
as
home on wheels.
Right, 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 right. And it's the same way as getting your boat just the way you want it. You know, for how you're wanting to fish or you know, ski. So you know, what we do is why I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, that's my life. I'm there to serve. I've got 53 employees that are there to serve. We count on a referral base to keep us in business.
Sure.
And we can only ask for that referral if we do a good job.
I really want to encourage everyone that's listening to take a couple of hours out of your weekday, your Saturday, your Sunday, go to Midway. It's the, what's the exit off
I-10? Exit 192, where the big truck stops are, the Flying J. You'll get off the I-10 exit. You'll head west on Highway 90.
Yeah.
We're about 1 mile on the left, and you can't miss us. We have a 135-foot tall flagpole with a 40 by 80 U.S. flag.
Yeah.
You can't miss it.
That's an event all by itself. I think that every parent out there needs to load the kids up and burn off some energy out at Camping World one weekend. You've only got about a month before kids are going back to school. What are they going to write what I did on my summer vacation about?
Hopefully it's camping.
I hope it's camping. Whether it's camping or whether it's glamping, the people at Camping World RV are going to be able to help you. Jason, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with me and talking about it. My appetite is wet for getting another RV, so you can count on seeing me soon.
Thank you, Miriam.
And thanks for joining us for Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I'm Miriam Dady.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Since February of 2010, the Dick Houser Center for Childhood Services has partnered with Goodwill Big Bend. Goodwill provides DHC with administrative support and fundraising. Now, what's curious about that is that this is a very unusual sort of situation. There are a lot of features about the Dick Houser Center that would be familiar to us, but the Dick Houser Center uses a play-based curriculum that emphasizes self-worth, capability, and school readiness. And they will begin with children as young as 6 weeks old. So from infant all the way up to 5 years old, these are kids in an assisted situation, in an educational situation, in a play-based curriculum with professional educators and caregivers. They focus on assisting children to develop the social and communication skills they need to work and play cooperatively. We have with us as our guest the director for the Dick Houser Center, Kim Sineath. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. We're getting to know you a little bit better here. I want to make sure I said your last name correctly. Sineath, right? How do you pronounce it?
Sineath.
Somehow I knew I was wrong. It doesn't.
You know, it happens all the time. I get it quite a bit, so it's okay.
Well, as my listeners will tell you, everything here is always sort of off the cuff and spontaneous, and so and genuinely, I really don't spend a whole lot of time trying to. I suppose I should figure out how to pronounce one's name. That might actually qualify as being acceptable in any kind of pre-discovery. But anyway.
Well, it's a tricky one, so.
Sineath.
I'll give you a pass.
Well, I have no apologies here expected because my name is difficult as well. The fact is, the Dick Houser name has for a long time been well recognized. Coach Houser, mm-hmm. right? Florida State Athletics.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that backstory.
Well, he was involved way back when, in the late 70s, early 80s, when DHC was being formed. DHC was originally the Center for Cerebral Palsy. Ah. And as he got involved in fundraisers and things like that, the board found it fit to honor him and his work towards our mission to go ahead and name the center after him.
Very cool. And you mentioned cerebral palsy. That is one of the characteristics that I find fascinating, that as a pre-K program for kids, you bring those special needs kids together with those that are not special needs. They all come together in this same grouping. Why do you do it that way?
You know, we provide this inclusive setting, and it's beneficial to all of the kids involved. For our children with special needs, it gives them a chance to see typically developing kids doing typical things for their age, whether that is modeling how they're rolling Play-Doh out on the table, to how they're pulling themselves up on a slide, to how they're feeding themselves. And then for our typically developing kids, as they watch our kids with special needs, they really develop the sense of empathy. They will almost before the teacher even goes to grab, say, an adaptation that they're using for a way that they're sitting, be like, don't remember, you know, Joey needs this seat. Mm-hmm. And they really, it creates a really cool friendship between the kids. And those relationships last above and beyond when they go into elementary school. And I think it's really great for those typically developing kids to see and learn on a very, at a very early age that we are all different. We learn differently. We, you know, approach life differently.
In fact, you've been with the center for some time now. In your involvement, did you begin as the director, or had you been working as a administrator or as a provider in some other capacity?
I actually started with the program as a contract manager for a outside program, through Department of Health, doing the child care food program. And as the DHC program started to grow and develop, and we were beginning that partnership with Goodwill, it was a really good opportunity to talk to them about some of my program ideas and things like that. So it just really evolved from there.
And that's the neat part about this, too, that if I'm shopping at Goodwill, mm-hmm. I'm actually helping you take care of these kids.
Absolutely. Every time you go to the register and they ask if you'd like to round up to the nearest dollar, those funds come back to us. And we're able to provide scholarships for children whose insurance might not cover therapy, families in need, and then also expansion. We're about to expand and open 3 brand new classrooms that we're enrolling for August. So it's been a really great partnership.
How many kids do you take care of?
Right now, we have 89 children, and with the new classrooms, we'll be able to add another 48 to that.
What percentage of those folks are in that special needs category?
We typically have about 30 to 35% of our children who need some type of special intervention or therapy service, and we feel that that's a really good number, because if once you go above that, it becomes very taxing, not only on the teachers, but just the amount of people that you need in a room to help do that one-on-one. But around that 30%, we're able to really keep the classroom flowing, still have a very preschool setting feel, and then our therapy team is able to come and take some of those kiddos out onto the patio area and perform therapy right there on site.
Very cool.
And sometimes right in the classroom, so the teachers are really involved in that process too.
And therapeutically speaking, mm-hmm. are they using practices that are appropriate for any particular kind of disability or special need? Talk about the therapy.
Well, it's all individualized. We have speech, physical, and occupational therapy on site, and then we also have contract play-based, like mental health therapy, and those come in as needed. So it really depends on the individual child. Once a child is enrolled in the Dickhauser, we do a general screening. If anything from that screening shows that there might be a red flag, that they might need a further evaluation, then we'll bring in that particular discipline, talk to the parents, sit down, get a plan going, we'll do an evaluation. From that evaluation, we'll decide how much therapy that child might need. And then from there, they're able to receive the therapy, but then also the therapist talk to the teachers about what they could do throughout the rest of the day and how to incorporate them into other activities.
And those of you who are providing these services mm-hmm. are coming from various professional backgrounds, education, social work. What it, mm-hmm. describe for us then?
Well,
who are these folks?
My background is in social work. You know, our speech, physical, and occupational therapy are all licensed therapists in their own particular discipline. And then within our school, we have our teachers who have varying degrees depending on their title. For our lead teachers, they typically have at least a bachelor's degree in early childhood education or family and child sciences, whether it's their FCCPC, which is kind of like a statewide certification for early childhood. And then we also have interns. We do a lot of internships. We work with the Kaiser Occupational Therapy Assistant Program, FSU's Music Therapy Program, FSU's School of Social Work. A lot of those can come and do internships. So I like that it's really well-rounded from the children on site who are receiving childcare, to being able to also turn around and provide educational opportunities, being in Tallahassee with all the colleges around us, being able to show that, it just feels really reciprocal to me.
Yeah, it's a very rich environment. Talking with Kim Sineath, she is the director for the Dick Houser Center here in Tallahassee, which operates under the kind and generous auspices of Goodwill. You talked about Goodwill funding, but you've also got public funding coming through various agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So multiple sources of income.
Yes.
Revenues.
Yeah, and any grant I can apply for anywhere I find.
And
donations are totally welcome.
And if I want to whip out my checkbook,
that'd
just
be
make
great.
Sure I sign the check.
Yeah, there you go.
you have fundraisers you do throughout the year of your own, or is that,
well,
you're already pretty busy with everything else, I imagine.
What we've done, you know, with the Roundup fundraiser, it's been so inclusive as far as all of the Goodwill stores within Tallahassee and the Big Bend area that we try to focus our extra time on finding additional grants and things like that.
Okay. Folks, I hope you're learning a lot here. I certainly am. We have Kim Sineath with us talking about Dick Houser Center. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Because the truth is, the best medicine is a good, healthy life. It's challenging to do, but there are small changes that we can make.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
People know what to do, but they don't know how to get it done. And even when we know what to do, it's difficult to make it happen. I just know how important it is because I see, as a physician, I know the bad things. And I know it's a heck of a lot better if we can just prevent that. But we gotta, you know, start small and they evolve into bigger changes. If that's exercise, so we offer exercise services, or nutritional counseling and modifying our diet. You know, it's not just about medicine and your cholesterol, but it's about what you do, what you eat, and helping people to see that connection and really make that change.
Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, welcoming Blue Cross Blue Shield patients. 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Kim Sineath. We're learning about Dick Houser Center here in Tallahassee. You've been with them now for what, 100 years, it feels like?
Almost, yeah. We're going into 8 years.
Yeah. And it came about because of the work that Dick Houser had been doing, or he was part of that at the beginning of the whole thing. Dick then passed because of his battle with cancer, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
That was many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here is this organization that continues to provide for children, especially those with these we call special needs, particularly those with cerebral palsy or other issues. For you as a educator, as a social worker, what's the toughest part of the job?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, I think just making sure as a leader that every day the choices that I'm making benefit not only the agency, but the teachers are kept in mind, and first and foremost, the families and the kids every day.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at funding, of course, I think that's one of the biggest strains on any nonprofit, is having enough money at the end of the day to do everything that you want to do. And so for me, I just want to make sure that the children that really need services, that we have scholarships available, which is one reason why the Roundup is great. And then at this point, ways to expand and get our model and our, you know, how we do things really out there in the community and let them know.
Yeah. What are the things that frustrate you most?
You know, I think one of the hardest things that I see in the field in general is, as odd as it sounds, the expulsion rates in preschools. Expulsion rates in preschools are almost three times as high as expulsion rates in secondary school and elementary school. And that part is hard. When you get a call from a parent who has been expelled from their third preschool and has no idea, you know, they still need to maintain their job and where to put their child.
These are children that are so disruptive, they can't be handled well.
Well, that we have kiddos who are on the autism spectrum who just might not fit in that typical cookie cutter preschool program and need additional services throughout their day.
But it seems to me that if the Dick Houser Center can't help them, because you guys are bending over backwards.
I mean, oh, well, we'll take them. We will. And, you know, that's as long as we have room and the space.
You end up having to expel
students? No, we actually do not. And I haven't, and I don't think DHC has as long as we've been there.
I
think it's just having the space every once in a while. You know, we're working on... For August, we will have 3 additional new classrooms that we can enroll to. Yeah. But this last school year, we were definitely full, like to the brim. And that's the hardest part, is when you get that call and you're like, how do I squeeze in this one more child? Because I know they need us. But, you know, luckily with being able to expand over the summer, we'll be able to do that for this coming year.
You talked earlier about those who are able to do therapy with any one of your students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of that child who may be acting out at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good example.
Right,
absolutely. If a child is autistic and he needs a special period of time, that person can take that child aside and work with them, get them back into the flow. Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. And then we have earlier intervention assistants on staff who also work closely with our therapy team so that they can help incorporate therapy goals throughout their entire day.
Yeah.
And have, you know, tips and techniques that they can use even after that therapy session is over to keep that classroom running smoothly.
One of our friends and fans is a man named Vincent Hunt, who has created something he's dubbed Creators Camp. Creators Camp is designed for young people, kids, who then are encouraged to move out into their areas of giftedness. And one of his bones of contention is that as educators and as adults and parents particularly, we do a great job of shutting kids down and telling them they can't do it. And his mission has been aimed at reviving the idea that kids don't know they can't do it.
Absolutely.
They
just
want to try.
Absolutely. We just had we do specialized trainings for our teachers, and we just had one 2 Saturdays ago, and it was talking about risk and letting children take, of course, now appropriate risks, but that, you know, taking a step back and letting them reach for that next rung that you might not think they're able to reach on the monkey bars and things like that, letting those kids really push themselves.
Sure.
And I think our teachers do a great job of implementing self-help skills, but also waiting back and letting them try it first.
Yeah. A lot of times, do you find this to be the case, especially as parents, that we are so self-conscious, right? We're worried about our own performance as the parent. And, am I the best parent I can possibly be?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if dads struggle as much as moms do, but I mean, I'm a dad 4 times over. I certainly faced my struggles, still do. But my wife seemed to be a lot more at ease about parenting than I was.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have 2 boys myself. They're 11 and 12. And I think that even for me as a parent, I struggle with it, especially working at somewhere like the Dick Houser Center. Like, hey, that's what I do. So I should know this. And then something happens.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did you do?
Right.
So
you're supposed to have all the answers here.
Right. And I think it's important to be able to lean on other parents, lean on friends. It ties back to at DHC, we do parent monthly meetings. And they're kind of a mutual self-help, so they can talk to one another.
Support group kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
But,
and then we'll bring in educational components as well. Sometimes maybe just do like a clothing swap, depending on the ages of kids. Give them a really a chance to meet other parents who have kids the same age. You might have the same issues going on at home and build their support network.
I was thinking about those students too, especially the older, let's talk about the 4 and 5 year olds, who begin to develop an appreciation, a compassion, an acceptance of the kids who are not like them, right? On both sides.
Right.
I mean, those who have special needs, those
right.
who don't. And so that kind of blending must have a kind of positive outcome there. Do you find kids struggling with that, who say, gosh, she's different, she's weird, she's odd?
Well, you know, I think that that's something that developmentally kids will just naturally start pointing out differences. Huh. I think that as they get to know those children and they see those children every day, that kind of dissipates. And I've seen it happen at DHC. I've seen it happen with alumni. I actually, my boys went to DHC when I first started there. And last year during a baseball game, my son ran into another DHC alumni who had Down syndrome, and they were playing baseball. And some of the kids on my son's team were like, oh, what's wrong with him? He looks different. And my son was the first one to be like, oh no, I know him, he's cool, everybody back off, you know, and go up and give him a high five.
Ease up.
And so, you know, I love seeing that kind of, you know, advocacy for one another.
Now, if we can just get the Democrats and Republicans to do that for one another.
I think we need a longer talk show for that one.
Yeah, would be made. Folks, what a delightful guest. Kim Sineath, the director of the center called Dick Houser Center here in Tallahassee, our guest this morning. Thank you for sharing the time with us.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
What a pleasure. Folks, that's what we do here. I've got ABC News coming up here at the top of the hour. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida, welcoming Blue Cross Blue Shield patients. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, I want to tell you something, folks. If you've just joined us, you are right where you need to be. Thanks for tuning in. If you've missed the first portion or any portion of the show, you want to make sure that you go to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. It's just for you. Lots of different ways that you can participate in all the fun, because you can download the show in its entirety to your phone, to your laptop, whatever device you might be using. You have the ability to subscribe then to our podcast. That's another neat thing you can do on either your iPhone or Android. So podcasting is a neat thing to do, and it updates automatically. You can keep in touch with us over the various episodes that we bring you from week to week. Then again, our own website, we host every show right there for you. And if you're looking for a given person, you say, oh, you know, I wanted to hear that interview that Brian did with Mayor Gillum. Okay, well, you go to the search bar and you type in Gillum and hit the search, and it'll bring up all of those episodes, those shows we've had with Mayor Gillum. How cool is that? In their entirety. So you don't miss one bit of that conversation. And these conversations, as you've discovered over time, are those that come by way of very caring people. And my experience with this is phenomenal. I mean, I don't think I've talked to anybody yet in the course of this now almost 6 years that doesn't bring to us a particular level of devotion and commitment, a kind of excitement, a unique view of why they do what they do. And I mean, and that's kind of why we decided we wanted to bring this show to you initially, was because we thought maybe that'll help all of us further ask the same questions of ourselves. Why is it that I find myself drawn to this particular work? Or maybe I'm not doing the stuff that I really want to be doing. you know, you talk to people and you find out that there's a lot of us who've gone through that. Vincent Hunt is one of those people. And we're going to meet somebody here in this hour who herself started out as a young kid singing and brought to us then her passion for music in this performance she did just before July 4th holiday. She's in Washington, D.C. with her husband, a few friends, a family reunion sort of thing. They're at the Lincoln Memorial. And her husband says, hey, you gotta sing right here, right now. And if you've seen the video, you know who I'm talking about, Star Swain, who turns out to be a graduate of FAMU. She has her master's from Florida State. She's working on her doctoral degree at Florida State in education. But man, she just loves to sing. She loves music. Has been doing that her entire lifetime. And on this occasion, she finds herself in a rather unique location, right? The Lincoln Memorial, Washington, D.C., heading into the 4th of July weekend. And she nails it. She absolutely nails it. She sings our national anthem with vigor and with such a heart, I will say heart moving, heart moving treatment. I mean, if this thing doesn't move you, I don't know, man, we got to check you out because there's something wrong with you. She really came through for us. And but in any case, the good to be discovered is only going to happen if we have these conversations. Hasn't that been the downbeat for Village Square? And, you know, the mayor's office picking up on this longest table idea. You know, we found out just listening to Kim Sineath in the first hour. Here she is, the director for Dick Houser Center. She's talking about kids that are suffering with some disability, right? Maybe they're cerebral palsy or they're autistic or whatever the issue. And they're working right alongside of those kids that are not afflicted with any one of those kinds of special needs, right? And the consequence of that is that they all come together in a way that is fundamental, that is formative. They learn very early on that they don't have to worry about those walls, those barriers, those divides, those categorizations, the stereotypic thinking that otherwise might keep us then as adults from recognizing one another as contributive and important and worthwhile. And Lord help us, I mean, it seems like we spend most of our adult lives trying to work our way back to that. At this time in our history, when you hear somebody like Star Swain step up and bring to us, by the way, as a woman, as an African American, singing the national anthem, where? At the Lincoln Memorial. When? Just prior to July 4th? I mean, I don't know. If that wasn't well orchestrated, it's one of the most remarkable alignments of thought and opportunity that I can think of in recent days. What a great way for us to consider how we are allied, not because we are all alike, but because we choose to value the very things that we find different about one another. I mean, you've been with me long enough here, folks. You know how different I can be on any given day of the week. And I think that as we celebrate those differences and we find within ourselves the uniqueness that we bring to the conversation, we do so in a way that is intended to be contributive. It's our intent. We want to participate. We want to give. And we're ready to receive from the other person. Okay, so yeah, I'm preaching at you a little bit here. But I think that that really is deserving. I think that's where, in the climate that we find ourselves, in whatever capacity we find ourselves wrangling about political ends and means. And man, don't we have lots of things to get angry about? Sure, sure. Everybody's offended by something, someone, somehow, somewhere, at some time. I'm just saying, at some time, you've got to let that anger subside. You got to get past it. And you got to move into talking about how we solve the problem. How do we move forward? I'll be talking with Star Swain about that. She is an educator. She's the assistant principal over there at Jefferson County Middle School. So in addition to being this remarkable vocalist who provides us this sensational performance that inspired arguably millions of folks, here she is, a Tallahassean, coming to our studios to share with us what's in her heart. How about that? Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Remember, you can go to the website at any time, day or night, and listen to any of those things that we've provided you in past episodes. You can also email us topics@TallahasseeTalks.com if you have a topic or guest that you would like us to consider. Remember to be sure and thank all of our sponsors this week. They're there for you every day, and you'll find them as well. TallahasseeTalks.com.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Well, in fact, she has achieved some rather notable attention in the last several weeks. A woman who for many years has been blessing folks with her voice, her musical talent. Star Swain has won the hearts of millions of viewers now across the country and around the world because she had this daring sort of desire, I guess, and a contribution to our 4th of July celebration when she decided to present herself there at the Lincoln Memorial and begin singing the national anthem. Now, this came by way of some bidding. We're going to get into that story as we introduce you to Star Swain. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
We're glad that you're here this morning, and it's good to have you.
It is great to be here.
With us. After all that you have done in the last several weeks, jumping around from CNN to NPR, I mean, folks, if you haven't done this, Google and Star Swain. It's remarkable because you're going to see postings from NPR and the New York Times, CNN, even her hometown newspaper, The Beacon, over there in Macon, Georgia. Everybody has just been so thrilled with this vocalization. The way that you presented yourself and the way that that whole thing came about, your singing of the national anthem, was inspiring. It was touching. Wow. Just had all the right elements. Tell us a little of the backstory. How this got set up, and was this all just sort of last minute, spontaneous, or there had to be some planning, I guess, going into it?
No, there was no planning at all. No. This was completely spontaneous, on the spot. You know, we were in D.C. for our family vacation. So, you know, that was
our goal.
You and your
husband, friend, manager,
right.
Everybody there.
Right. Everybody was there. And even though, you know, the guy at the end was like, I'm her manager, that was still a joke because he's not really my manager. You know, we were just, they were like, man, you know, you should just do it. So, yeah. You know, I did it. We were actually having a conversation about the acoustics in the memorial and, you know, how beautiful it sounded. Yeah. So, you know, I jokingly said, man, I should just break out and start singing the Star Spangled Banner, you know. And my friend was like, man, you should do it. And I was like, no. Oops. Yeah, like, oh, God, why did I say it?
And they weren't going to leave you alone.
They were not. I'm glad you know that. That's exactly why I was like, let me just do it because I'm going to hear about it the rest of the week if I don't.
Well, and you know, the fact that if you haven't watched this video, folks, and I would be surprised to find out that you haven't, simple enough. I mean, again, you can Google Star Swain. You can go to her fan page on Facebook by the same name, Star Swain, just like it sounds, S-W-A-I-N. And here you find the people who are visiting the Lincoln Memorial that day who are just taken with your tenderness. And and that, I think, is what's, for me as a listener, most notable. Mm-hmm. Your treatment of our national anthem mm-hmm. was particularly, I thought, tender mm-hmm. and heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't just a performance, was it?
No. Anytime I sing, it's for me more than just a performance. And, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the song is or the words mm-hmm. are, I try to reach people with the meaning of the song, mm-hmm. you know, through the voice and the gift that God has given me.
Mm-hmm. When you think of the Declaration of Independence having just been celebrated now this July 4th, and all that that says to us as a nation, all that it holds for us in promise,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
here you come as an African-American woman
mm-hmm.
On the eve of that celebration, now 240 years mm-hmm. in our history.
Yes.
Singing the national anthem at the memorial site mm. of the president who signed into law the Emancipation Proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what else you could have done for us mm-hmm. to have made clear that message.
Yeah.
That liberty shines.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I hear you singing, that message came through for me. I
wow.
thought, she's not just singing the national anthem.
Mm.
She's delivering a message to me
mm.
and to every one of us who are paying attention and
yes.
who are listening.
Indeed.
And who are celebrating with her that liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That freedom.
Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When in our time, we continue to struggle over some of those basic freedoms, do we not?
Yes, we do. We do mm. from time to time. And I think that the way that I think that's one of the reasons that the video did go viral is because, you know, as Americans and as people, just as humanity, you know, us being a part of humanity,
yeah.
we all are experiencing that struggle, you know, right now in different aspects, you know, politics, religion, just everything. And
everything.
I think for most of those who've listened and who viewed the video, that gave them that sense, you know, of the home of the brave and the land of the free again. Like, you know, this is really what America is about. And hopefully, you know, we all can join together and become united, a united front.
Well, in fact, when I looked at the video, and I originally my wife pulled this up, she said, you've got to listen to this. This is remarkable. You know, and my first thought was, yeah, I mean, you know, it's the internet, right? Come on. I mean, how many videos do you have to see on Facebook before you're sort of, right, I get it.
Right, right.
So, yes, I freely admit that I was a bit, let's say, jaundiced, maybe even a bit skeptical or cynical. But, man, you really broke through that cynicism in any capacity and said, wait a minute. There's something at stake here that resonates with us all
mm-hmm.
at this time in our history when we are continuing to have that debate and that struggle is ongoing. And I'm even reading a quote here from one of my faves, This says, freedom is a fragile thing and is never more than one generation away from extinction.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It is not ours by inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation, for it comes only once to a people.
Mm.
Now, who said that?
Wow.
President Ronald Reagan.
Wow. Yeah.
And he said that at a time when communism in the Eastern Bloc nations was still a very hard reality.
Mm-hmm.
He said that in the face of rising terrorism and terrorist attacks through the Middle East. He said that in the face of economic disparity in our own country. And it seems here we are in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
We see the harshness of the world. We see the desperation of people who want to deny others their freedom or who want to launch some sort of an attack against those freedoms that we treasure for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of what has been an economically disastrous period of time this last 10, 12 years, we're still in that fight, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're definitely in that fight. And I think more than anything, we are in a fight for realizing and cherishing what humanity means, you know, just cherishing and valuing a person, you know, not a religion, not a sexual orientation, not, you know, my economic status, but just understanding that we are people. And for me, that I think is a message that needs to ring loud and clear, you know, is freedom, but also humanity and cherishing that and valuing that and working together to maintain all of humanity, you know, as a whole.
Originally from Macon, Georgia, she's a graduate of Florida A&M and Florida State University. She is a vice principal at Jefferson County Middle School, and she is our guest this morning. Star Swain is with us. You stay right where you are. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are back with Star Swain, famous internet recording star, who graced the world, certainly our nation, with the singing of our national anthem only days before the coming of July 4th. And it's hard to imagine that they didn't somehow scurry you away to some national site, you know, to celebrate further. I was expecting you to show up there at the Capitol on the E, you know, on July 4th itself. You have for many years been involved in music and as a singer. When did that start with you as a kid? When did that all begin for you?
It did start when I was a kid. Uh-huh. I've been singing for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom says I, you know, used to sing all the time and it started when I was two. But of course, I don't remember that far back. But I do know I got my first solo when I was in third grade.
There you go.
So, you know, I've been singing since that time in stage plays, you know, different events, local events, just a wide gamut of things. And, you know, we worked really hard as a kid and as a teenager, you know, my mom and my family, with trying to find that big break. You know, social media was not in existence when I was coming up. So you didn't have that medium of, you know, getting your voice out there or just, you know, people finding out who you were. But everything was to no avail. And then, you know, now you have it where when you're not trying, it actually happens.
Funny how that works.
Right, yeah. right, indeed.
Yeah. And some of us stopped trying a long time ago. We're still waiting for that break, nonetheless.
Right.
But in your case, it worked magically and to our good, because we are the ones who have benefited from your superior talent on this occasion. Where else are you singing? And is it? I know that you're a middle high school assistant principal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you've been there about a year, you said?
Yes.
And that's in Jefferson County.
Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't have possibly gotten back to school without people swarming you
middle
school, high school, huh?
Indeed. Of course, some students are there for summer school, but most, of course, the entire school is out for summer break. But we do have, you know, our office staff and some of the teachers and the district personnel. You know, they've all given their congratulations and been very supportive.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. When that all broke, who was the first to pick up that story? Was it NPR or CNN? How did it break?
The first to pick up the story, actually, I think it was CBS that we interviewed with first. They were the first. And then there have been a lot of local news, WCTV. Yeah. So they were like the first couple you know, and then from there, all the calls just started coming in, you know.
And it was a friend of yours who decided to do the video, mm-hmm. and you had your husband there egging you on.
Yeah.
And so after having been impressed into service, you responded with such grace and with such, again, sincerity. For me, I thought that the actual performance was so penetrating. You notice it in the responses of the people that are there at the memorial, mm-hmm. Lincoln Memorial. And they're stopped in their tracks. They're lasered in on what you're doing. I can't imagine that they wouldn't be, but everybody seemed to just gather then about you. Mm-hmm. What were some of those things that were said to you after you finished singing?
A lot of people, most people just said thank you. You know, that was wonderful. And they said thank you, which I wasn't expecting a thank you, you know, but that kind of goes back to our conversation before. You know, I think it's just, it brought in that sense of patriotism again. We've had a lot of veterans and things that have reached out to us and just said, you know, it made me proud to be an American again, you know. So I think that was what the thank you was for, you know, at that moment and at that time and where they were. It was just a great moment, and they were grateful for it.
And as a singer, a vocalist, a mm-hmm. musician, singing the national anthem is not an easy thing to do. That is not without its challenges,
right?
And yet you clearly had this in your grasp. Mm-hmm. Was that at all a concern to you? I mean, you didn't seem to have a chance to warm up or anything.
It was a concern.
Walked up and nailed it.
It was definitely a concern, which, you know, is where all the nerves came from, because I'm like, you know, I haven't practiced. My voice is kind of hoarse.
Please,
you know,
dear
I'm
Lord,
just
do
like,
not this, let this fall
right.
Apart.
This is not. Yeah. I wasn't prepared for this. So, you know, I was definitely nervous about, you know, making sure I nailed every note. And everybody, I think, whoever sings it always gets nervous on that land of the free.
No kidding.
You know, everybody's anticipating the high note.
Right.
Even in the video, you know, there's a lady in the background who's like, is she going to hit it? She puts her finger up, you know. So, yeah, definitely nervous every time I sing it.
It's a challenge.
Yes.
I have to tell you that when I talked with several other people the days that followed, everybody has their sort of, I guess, favorite moment when, you know, and if it's one vocalist or another, or maybe an orchestra that's mm-hmm. performed, I think that this is a performance as spontaneous as it was. Mm-hmm. That will remain for some time. I really think that it's got some enduring value there. As an educator, mm-hmm. you chose to pursue that educationally. You have your master's mm-hmm. from Florida State University in education.
Mm-hmm.
But you chose to do that and not pursue a music career, or are you doing both? How does that all work together?
I did choose education and have always kind of sung on the side.
I see.
The education is another passion of mine for sure.
Oh.
And, you know, of course, you got to make a living. So, you know, what better way to do it with something that you really love? But even as I'm working in that area now, I'm also working on the musical career so that, you know, perhaps in the very, very near future, it will become my career.
I see.
So we are working towards that.
And you're going to be in the studio, I think, in the days ahead.
Yes, sir.
Producing a recording, a CD or an album of some kind, right?
Yes, okay. Yes. We're working first on, you know, just the single that, you know, we'll put out really soon, within the next month, and then, you know, continue on with the entire album.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. You want to tell us anything about that particular song, or is it still behind closed doors?
It is behind closed doors. I will say that it will speak to all humanity and the world.
Is it a song that you have written, or is it something that was written for you? Or
Something that was written for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A local musician.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
I'm working here.
You are. yes, indeed.
Good luck, Brian. Okay. So, well, be sure that you bring that to our attention when it is completed.
I will.
Because we definitely want to give that some airplay.
Yes, sir.
Around these halls. Folks, we have Star Swain with us, and if that name is not yet famous in your hearing, well, you know, guess what? The rest of the internet world has embraced this young lady for her contribution to our patriotic observance of July 4th holiday. And in doing that, brings this rendition of the national anthem there on the occasion when she and her friends and family happened to be at Washington, D.C., at mm-hmm. the Lincoln Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, I guess your friend or your husband says, yeah, why don't you do this? Why don't you go ahead and sing the national anthem?
Yes.
And you just belt it out there.
Mm-hmm.
A cappella, as our friends at Tallahassee Community Chorus would say, Jan mm-hmm. Smith and Company. Well, folks, you stay with me. We're going to have more with Star Swain here, a native of Macon, Georgia, friends, who has now made her home this way, having graduated from Florida State University and FAMU, and teaching over there as an assistant principal at the Jefferson County Middle High School. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in particular. If you're mm-hmm. working with middle high school students.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt a challenge.
It can be.
So we'll get into that. Folks, I want to tell you, this broadcast is our passion. This is what we love doing, bringing you people like Star Swain. It happens because we have such great sponsors, the people who make this broadcast possible, including the very good people at Wood and Glass down there on South Monroe. Call them today, Wood and Glass, 222-5781.
Freedom isn't free. It comes at a high price. And Truck and Car Concepts is offering this heartfelt word of thanks to all of our armed forces and their families, those who stand at freedom's gate, defending our freedom and willing to pay the ultimate price. Celebrating freedom and wishing you a happy 4th of July, Truck and Car Concepts will be closed until Tuesday in honor of our national holiday.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week and bring your cars too, and I'll save you money. You're going to love it.
Happy birthday, America, from Truck and Car Concepts.
Wood and Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Wood and Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wood and Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
One observer said, you know, wherever Francis Scott Key is right now, he's going, now that's the way that was supposed to be sung. And I think there are many of us who would join in that sentiment. For you, when you talk about freedom and you talk about the quest for freedom, certainly among African Americans, among any of the minorities that continue in many ways mm-hmm. seeking liberty and justice and equal treatment under the law, we have signed into law those statutes that preserve and protect mm-hmm. Those freedoms and liberties, and yet we have to, as we said earlier in the words of Ronald Reagan, we have to defend that in each generation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think of what you've done in this singing, how does that translate into your everyday life? What kinds of things do you get involved in that you see as a continuation of that?
Well, as I said before, education is definitely my passion, and I'm working on my doctoral studies at Florida State as well, and the focus of those research studies is going to be equity in education, and how do we close those gaps, you know, between the haves and the have-nots. And for me, I guess that would be my contribution to the fight for freedom, you know, is equal access to education, to high quality education, regardless of, you know, where I live, you know. So for me, I think that's the role that I play. And even in singing the song, I like I said before, I just really want that sense of humanity, and we are all human, you know, we are all valuable in some type of way. And that is indeed the message that I want to get across, is just equity and equal access and opportunities for everyone.
When you look at your participation in Jefferson County Middle High School, mm-hmm. and you think of those students through the school year, and you've been there now a year, what are some of those impediments that you can see might be holding somebody back?
I think just their ability, and when I say their, I'm speaking about my kids, but just the kids' mentality and ability to see the world on a larger scale. You know, Monticello is very small, and there tends to be sometimes, you know, not a broad view of the world and the opportunities that await them. So I think for them, that's an impediment. That can be something that kind of holds them back, is being able to see, you know, that there's so much more out there for them. And hopefully this video will show them just that and everything that's come with it,
sure,
you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. In fact, folks oftentimes will bat this idea around. Is it a question of funding? Is it a question of providing quality educators? Is it a matter of providing additional or other resources? Is it a question of curriculum? Where do you come down on those questions? How do we provide that equal access and opportunity that you are talking about?
I think it's all of the above. It is the funding. It is the curriculum and instruction. It is understanding how to serve economically disadvantaged students, how to provide them with the instruction that they need, that's culturally responsive. Uh-huh. You know, it's building relationships. It's giving them exposure to things that they have not had the opportunity to be exposed to. Yeah. So it's a wide gamut of everything all combined into one. And I think the way that we can kind of overcome those challenges, especially in that community, is just coming together as one and being a unified front and all working together to do everything we can.
With an individual student, do you ever find those, or is this often the case perhaps, where a student expects less of themselves and you have to break through that mm-hmm. with them and encourage them to mm-hmm. realize that it's within their grasp? They too can achieve.
Oh, definitely. Huh? All the time. We make it a point to encourage our kids every day because, you know, sometimes they may have had a history of failure, you know, from elementary all the way up to now middle or high school. And so we have to kind of change their mindset about who they are. Mm-hmm. We do definitely make sure that we encourage, we inspire, and let them know that they can.
It's interesting how nationally that has been recognized, at least in regard to Leon County. Those research activities from Harvard Business School, the works of Richard Florida, talking about how, in fact, we'll say of Leon County, mm-hmm. there's a kind of entrenchment there. There's a sort of predetermination. It's tough to break through mm-hmm. because you've been born into an economic status. Maybe you're born into a particular geography, a part of the community. Mm-hmm. And so you take on yourself mm-hmm. a lot of that sort of labeling and maybe expect less of yourself than
right.
you ought to.
Right.
So that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
It's how we get past those barriers.
Yes.
As well as the more structural things.
Mm-hmm.
So we got both sides
working
on the same problem.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. Yes, sir.
What's the most joyful part of your job then as an educator?
The kids.
Yeah.
Without doubt. Just loving the kids and being able to talk to them and, you know, just letting them know that they have somebody that cares, that loves them, but that's also going to hold them to a high expectation and a high standard.
Tough love, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that you were willing to share that love with all of us who have been benefited by the fact that you I don't think you were tough. I think you were courageous in giving us this performance.
Thank you.
Star Swain, who broke into this last couple of weeks on the internet with a video that quickly went viral and several news organizations across the country picking up on the story. She has made her way back home to us and to the local audiences here with Channel 6 Television and the Tallahassee Democrat. All of us very pleased to have
thank you
the opportunity, really, to say thank you for giving back and for encouraging all of us to think more highly of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And in celebrating that freedom to say, you know what? It's a star-spangled day. Yes, sir. I'm sure there are many who would echo that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
What a pleasure. Star Swain, our friend. And you are my friend, too, who make it a part of your Saturday every week to be a part of this broadcast. It's a delight. Thank you for being a part of it. We are the production of Alcom Entertainment right here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, and Jenny Lauer, our associate producer. I'll be looking for you next Saturday right here at 9 o'clock. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets rang glad, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still.